It's time to pull up a chair and open your Bible for today's Bible study segment of Naomi's Table. Gather around and let's begin.
Welcome back to the table, everyone. We are here at our Bible study segment time and invite you to open up your Bibles to the book of Ruth. We're going to chapter 3 today, verses 7 through 18, and we're titling this one, Rebuke and Redemption. And Beth Seifert is here, our Bible study teacher. Beth, tell us what's up for this one today.
All right. Well, today, Amy, we're going to be in Ruth chapter 3, verses 7 through 18. And if you remember from yesterday, Naomi gave Ruth some advice. She told her what she needed to go and do. And today we're going to see how that all plays out. So if you have your Bibles open to Ruth chapter 3, verses 7 through 18, I'm reading from the ESV. And when Boaz had eaten and drunk, and his heart was merry, he went to lie down at the end of the heap of grain. Then she came softly and uncovered his feet and lay down. At midnight, the man was startled and turned over. And behold, a woman lay at his feet. He said, "Who are you?" And she answered, "I am Ruth, your servant. Spread your wings over your servant, for you are a redeemer." And he said, "May you be blessed by the Lord, my daughter. You have made this last kindness greater than the first, in that you have not gone after young men, whether poor or rich. And now, my daughter, do not fear. I will do for you all that you ask, for all my fellow townsmen know that you are a worthy woman. And now it is true that I am a redeemer, yet there is a redeemer nearer than I. Remain tonight and in the morning. If he will redeem you, good, let him do it. But if he is not willing to redeem you, then as the Lord lives, I will redeem you. Lie down until the morning." So she lay at his feet until the morning, but arose before one could recognize another. And he said, "Let it not be known that the woman came to the threshing floor." And he said, "Bring the garment you are wearing and hold it out." So she held it, and he measured out 6 measures of barley and put it on her. Then she went to the city. And when she came to her mother-in-law, she said, "How did you fare, my daughter?" Then she told her all that the man had done for her, saying, "These 6 measures of barley he gave to me, for he said to me, 'You must not go back empty-handed to your mother-in-law.'" She replied, "Wait, my daughter, until you learn how the matter turns out, for the man will not rest, but will settle this matter today." Now, Boaz was not drunk. He had been having a nice evening with the guys. Remember, they've just finished that harvest, and they are needing to blow off a little steam. So there was probably a lot of joking and laughing and games being played. But notice where he lays down at. He lays down at the end of a heap of grain. He is still protecting the crop that they have brought in from theft. Ruth waits until he has laid down, and then she went and uncovered his feet and lay down there. Boaz, he was out. He was completely asleep. Ruth, I bet she didn't even doze that night. This was too important for her future to be able to rest. And in the middle of the night, Boaz tries to roll over and wakes up, and there's a woman at his feet. He has no idea who this is. Ruth tells him it is her and reminds him of his moral obligation as a kinsman redeemer for Naomi's family. Now, if you remember back in chapter 2, when Boaz had first met Ruth into the field, he said to her, "May you be richly rewarded by the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge." Now, in case you've ever prayed a prayer where you've said, "God, provide someone who will take care of this situation," typically God will say, "Okay, you go do it." Boaz is finding out that that's what's going to happen now, because now Ruth asks Boaz to spread his wings, the corners of his garment, over her to protect her, just as Boaz had blessed Ruth in the very beginning. Boaz was reminded that he must serve as the Lord's protective wings over Ruth. Now, Boaz accepts what is really a kind of a rebuke from Ruth, and he's willing to do what is right. But he's also aware of another step that must be taken. He must make sure the closer relation gives up his claim on Ruth and any children she has in case of future contention. Boaz is aware of a closer relation, and he will not bypass the directive of the law, even though Naomi had directed Ruth to go to Boaz. She sent Ruth to Boaz because Boaz had already shown himself to be a man of character and had already shown preferential treatment of Ruth. Boaz commits himself to redeeming the family of Naomi by an oath. He will find that nearest kinsman redeemer and present the case to him, and if that man refuses to redeem Naomi's line, Boaz will do it. Boaz then once again shows preference to Ruth by providing her with grain from the threshing floor. Again, he is showing how he is concerned for her needs and is also showing his character and his desire to do what God wants, not just to follow the letter of the law. Boaz also protects her reputation by sending her away before anyone could recognize her. The amount of thought and care that Boaz puts into redeeming Ruth is just awesome. He is ready to take action now. His attention has been captured, his obligations have been brought to the foreground, and he is ready to move on his responsibilities. He takes her empty bride garment, and he fills it with grain for now, but with the promise of more than that in the future. Her bridal clothes won't remain barren and empty. While he can't fill the role as her husband yet, he can fill her stomach with grain. He assures her that he is looking out for her interests, and remember, he is a man of noble character. He's going to follow through. The hope that Naomi held on to in Boaz being the kinsman redeemer for her family is not misplaced. When Ruth and Naomi returned from Moab, and Ruth first went out to glean, Boaz saw her, and he came to her. Ruth and Naomi's kinsman redeemer met Ruth where she was in the field. He came down to her level. He fed her. He gave her water. He cared for and provided for her, not just the immediate need, but he also provided for her future needs by ensuring she would be able to provide for herself and Naomi. Now, hold on, because this is where we're about to see the big picture of redemption really take hold. Our kinsman redeemer did the same thing. He met us where we were. We couldn't hope to meet him where he was. He came to our world to walk as a human with us, not above us. Philippians chapter 2, verse 6 through 11 is my favorite passage of Scripture. And it says, Jesus, who being in the very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the God the Father. Jesus did. He walked among us. He lived in a body that could be broken, just like ours. He breathed our air. He hungered. He thirsted. He got tired and he had to rest. He came to us to engage with us, to feed us, to give us eternal living water. In John 7:38, it says, whoever believes in me, as Scripture has said, whoever believes in me, rivers of living water will flow from within them. And in Romans 5:8, it says, but God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. While we were still his enemies, he chose us so that we could live with him forever. Ruth had no idea what would happen as she gleaned in that field. She expected to survive. Boaz offered her so much more. Christ offers us so much more, too, than we could ever ask or imagine. Ruth's hope in Boaz was not misplaced. Our hope is not misplaced when we put it in Christ. He takes the empty vessels of our lives in this life, and he fills them with his Holy Spirit while we are here. Acts 2:17-18 says, in the last days, God says, I will pour out my Spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my Spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. And with this promise comes a promise of perfected existence in our future eternity with him. Hebrews 12:2 says, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Christ has already taken action for us in dying on the cross and taking our sins on himself. He continually takes action on our behalf as he intercedes for us to God. He paid our debt. He redeemed us and bought us back. And he gave us his Holy Spirit to intercede for us with groans that words cannot express as he fills us with himself. What an amazing Savior we have, and what a wonderful protector God provided for Ruth and Naomi.
Oh, Beth, and he provides for us in that same way. Thank you so much for this incredible Bible study once again. You've just been listening to Lesson 8 in our study of the Book of Ruth. You can find Lesson 8 on our Bible study plan. Just go to naomistable.com and click on our Bible study tab and help yourself to whatever materials you see there. And perhaps you'll be inspired to have this lesson at around your own kitchen table with ladies that you know who can study the Word with you together. Well, thank you so much, Beth. Always great to have you at the table.
Thank you so much, Amy. It's my pleasure.
Well, we're looking forward to tomorrow, but don't go away, ladies, because the table is still open. We will be right back.